Welcome back to another episode of the DigiGuys podcast. Today we're going to speak to you about the evolution of the brand ambassador, what motivates us, and who and what shaped us in our lives.
Ooh.
But first off, Dan, how are you?
Good morning, Shane.
Good morning is right. Thursday morning.
Yes, we were supposed to record this last night.
So it's 1-1 now.
Yeah.
It was my mistake last week.
Yeah, but at least we're getting it done this morning.
So do you want to explain why we didn't do it last night?
We didn't do it last night because, I'll be honest, I was booked in to play a game of AstroTurf.
No. Booked in, right?
Yeah.
You booked AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours before we're supposed to do a podcast. Let's be honest here.
Sorry.
Now.
Sorry about that.
English accent is out.
I needed my exercise.
You did, yeah.
I just myself and Joe inside the office here just got in an AstroTurf buzz. But no, it was fine. It's not like we couldn't do it this morning. We knew that we would be able to record a podcast this morning, so
yeah,
we said we'd put it this morning.
I'll let you off this time around.
Good morning, Shane.
Good morning. So you have your marathon this weekend.
Ooh,
half marathon.
I actually forgot about that, to be honest.
Yeah, so you were training last weekend?
Yeah. Last weekend was the last long run. We did 15 kilometres last weekend. It was probably the hardest one, just because I think the week before we'd done 20 kilometres, which is, for anybody that doesn't know, half marathon is 21.1, so it's pretty much nearly the full distance of it. So it was kind of a stage of, we just wanted to do it now. So
what's the plan after the marathon then? We're almost in Christmas season then, so is it just go back to training normally? And obviously not the long runs, or is it?
No, myself and Joe are going to keep it going. So it will probably be two short runs, well, shorter during the week. So it might be like 2 8-kilometer runs, and then maybe at the weekend we'll still do our 10Ks or 15Ks just to get through Christmas, because I'm going to be eating a shitload of food.
That's what I want to know. I was like, I want to know the food wise.
Well, I'm definitely going to be eating food.
Yeah.
I haven't been like a saint with my food, but I've been better. But yeah, I think I'm going to enjoy Christmas, but still train, because otherwise I'll get through Christmas and be a fat slob after.
Actually, can we touch on Christmas dinner?
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
Because I'm visualizing my dinner now,
Lovely.
Go on. What is the Sweeney household? What's the tradition?
Well, this
first
year,
thing in the morning?
This year, we actually do every second year in myself and my wife's family home. So last year was in my mum's. This year it's going to be in Cathy's aunt's house, I think. So my wife has a very small family, so they're going to be doing it in the aunt's house. So
that's
probably,
or?
Yeah, they're very small. You. That was very good, Shane.
Thank you.
Very good. No, not height-wise.
Okay.
But you have to lose my train of thought now. So she's a small family. There's probably maybe about 15 in the entire family, cousins and all. So they all get together on Christmas Day. So, but their cooking is just...
Amazing.
Amazeballs, yeah.
Okay.
It's the works you get. There's actually everything. There's spiced beef, there's turkey and ham, there's stuffing, there's Brussels sprouts, carrots, turnips.
Brussels sprouts,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does it have to be like in the frying pan with the frying pan? Sorry, they're not boiled basically.
Fried
and
really?
Yeah, with a bit of bacon and stuff mixed into it.
Oh.
No?
Very posh. That's the country thing, is it?
A country thing, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
No. I've never had them fried.
Obviously, you parboil them first, and then I think you just put them into.
Oh yeah. Okay. No, I've never had it like that.
Oh, they're the best.
Shane, the chef.
Yeah, that's me.
Chef Shane.
Claire's very lucky.
She's
a lucky woman.
Fried Brussels sprouts. Lucky woman.
We rock hard stuff.
Mm.
We're the same.
Really?
All the trimmings, obviously.
Yeah.
But we get the breakfast in the morning as well, because our dinner's quite late in the evening.
Okay.
So it's usually around maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the evening.
What's breakfast now? Fry?
Fry up, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, the big fry up.
No, I couldn't have a dinner after I had a fry.
Sorry, no, big fry up, that's a lie. Not, like, you know, maybe have a small plate or something just to keep you going.
Okay.
And then obviously you pick at the...
Just to keep you going.
after Sunday Mass,
yeah,
like, you know?
Jeez. Do you go to Mass on Christmas Day?
It's probably the only day of the year that I'm allowed to say that, aren't I?
What do you mean? Of course you're allowed to say that.
It's not a Catholic podcast, no.
No, it's a Catholic. No, so you go to that fictional character's house on Christmas Day?
Yeah, just show off what I got for Christmas,
really?
Like, you know?
Oh, yeah, your new clothes.
My new clothes. Who else is going
to
see them? Like?
No, I don't go to, I don't believe in God, so I don't go to Mass.
That could be a topic for another day, I think.
Nah.
We won't get into it?
You know that already. I have no problem with it, but you know that already.
Okay. But like going to Mass, showing off your new runners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
like your fresh haircut.
Yeah. Everyone else is jealous.
Stand outside, you know.
Your new Nike
tracksuit.
Big balls,
like, you know.
Yeah.
New Nike tracksuit.
Yeah. Matching.
Timberlands. Nike Airs.
Classic, yeah. Or AC. I remember when you're younger, people would get, like, you know, an AC Milan or Real Madrid tracksuit.
Yeah.
Those were the ones. Those were the cool kids.
Yeah.
I had to wear jeans.
Jeans. Oh,
I was never really into tracksuits like that, yeah.
Bootcut, yeah. They're making a comeback.
501s.
I think we're getting away from the
from
the whole point of this, this podcast.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so the first topic, the evolution of the brand ambassador.
Yeah.
So I suppose now we nearly call them influencers. So there's different, obviously, there's brand ambassadors, there's influencers. There's a kind of a fine line between the two of them.
Yeah.
Going way back, obviously, because brand ambassador's been around a long, long time. It's not like this is a new age thing, you know.
Yeah.
So do you want to start with that? How would you describe?
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, I think you're right in saying that brand ambassadors and influencers now are kind of pretty much the same thing, because even 10 years ago, you had to be a superstar in your industry to become a brand ambassador for a company. So the likes of Michael Jordan, David Beckham, Messi, they're only sports people, and you look at Beyonce and Jay-Z and all those type of people that are superstars in their industry, and they're brand ambassadors. Whereas now, you potentially can become a superstar as an influencer and become a brand ambassador for some massive, massive brands out there. So I think we see it with even people in Ireland and people in the UK and the States, people that grow massive followings and become brand ambassadors. And I think, you know, if we're talking about influencers and people who are massive around the world, one would be Kylie Jenner, because let's be honest, does she have a talent? I'm not sure if you'd say a talent in terms of, you know, she's not a singer or an actress or an actor, I'm sorry, or, you know, a sports star. She's someone who's built a following from just being Kylie Jenner. And look at the brands that she works with, and look at her worth. I think her worth is over a billion?
Over a billion now, isn't it? Yeah, I think she's like just under the threshold, and then I think they started a GoFundMe page. And
she made the money. But isn't she a perfect example of someone who was a nobody, let's say. Using that term lightly in inverted commas, someone who had a famous family, but she's built this massive following, this massive business. The brand ambassador 10 years ago was totally different.
I suppose you have to be respected in your field to be known as a brand ambassador. And
yeah.
I suppose you still have to have that commercial appeal. Because even though there's, let's say, just taking sport, because it's easy for us to identify with that. You've got a soccer team, a football team. They have 11 players.
Yeah.
Only maybe two or three to be used as a brand ambassador because they've got the commercial appeal.
Yeah.
Where now, if you might be the best soccer player, let's say Jesse Lingard, not a great soccer player. Jesse Lingard
plays. Who's he play with?
Plays for one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Who's that? Real Madrid.
Manchester United.
Yeah. Jesus.
Even though he's not a fabulous footballer, he's got a big following on social media.
Yeah.
And he gets a lot of contracts that way. You know, with Adidas. Yeah. Obviously, he has to work with Adidas, but I've seen other stuff with Beats and.
But isn't it funny, like, that people like that now, they mightn't be the best within their industry, but they know how important social media is, they know how important their brand is. And the first person to do that in football, in soccer, is David Beckham, and everyone wants to try to be the next person like that. And it's a clever thing to do, because look at David Beckham now, he's worth an absolute fortune. I think himself and his wife was it over 100 million last year?
Crazy,
And he's been finished playing soccer for 10 years, maybe more?
At a high level, I suppose his last club was
LA Galaxy.
That's probably only five, maybe 6-7 years ago.
But still, you know, it's insane. Michael Jordan is probably a better example. He's finished playing basketball. I don't think I've ever seen him play
baseball.
But he's probably finished maybe 15 years.
Yeah,
and he's still is probably the biggest basketball brand out there. So I think those guys were the first to realize how important it is. But I actually love it, to be honest. I love that people can, you know, obviously to become an influencer, you have to be good at something, or you have to give people a reason to follow you. But I love that, you know, just a normal person, again, in inverted commas, can become a superstar by putting a lot of effort into their work, of course.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the biggest industries out there is beauty. And we kind of see that the beauty industry, the people that work in it, they have a big following.
Yeah.
So going back 5 or 6 years ago, they wouldn't have never been,
they'd
just be, you know, working in the shop and doing their own thing, maybe press release and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's like the person working in the shop gets all the exposure.
Yeah.
They're almost their brand ambassador for the business then on top of that, you know.
And I think it's funny as well, because, you know, thinking again over the last 10 years, the people who really made a massive brand from their names would have been men. You know, so like David Beckham, Michael Jordan again, you know, Jay-Z. But since then, a lot of people within the industry, a lot of women, sorry, within the industry would realize how important it is again. And they've built up their name. And we see that now within the beauty industry. So, like, you know, Beyonce would have been one of the first people to do it in terms of using her own name again. And now we'd see it in the beauty industry or the influencer industry that it's, you know, it's mostly women. It's probably 80% women, especially here in Ireland. It could be even more. You could get... Yeah, I'd actually even go as far as saying even 90% women influencers here in Ireland. That there's very few men.
If I was to name five top influencers in Ireland now, the majority would be bar James Cavanaugh, maybe James Patrice.
Yeah.
That's 2 out of 5. But you know, 2 out of 10.
But even but if you were to name 80%. Like if you say name 20 influencers, you'll probably name James Cavanaugh and James Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
But the other 18 will be 20 minus 2 is 18. The other 18 will be quick women.
Math. Yeah.
You know, so, but it's great. It's good to see.
Yeah. And so, let's say for brands or companies here in Ireland, you know, traditionally would have used, again, it's just identifying with sport, is the GA star.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
So, how does a company go from using your traditional traditional GA star, which mightn't have a huge following, just has a following because of who they are? But doesn't engage with their audience, doesn't put up nice content, etc., etc. How do they go from that to transitioning to the influencer who is probably slightly bigger following, but different to what they're actually used to? You know,
I think we've probably seen about a few different companies recently that have stopped using GA stars as their brand ambassadors, because to me it never made sense. I never got it. Just because, and I've nothing against GA or GA stars, because I've obviously played it, but when you look at them, they would have had zero following on social media, or some who may have had a following were putting no effort in and they were getting no engagement. So for them to be using JSRs, it just didn't make sense. They were getting nothing back from it. But I think we've probably realized, or we've seen over the last maybe 5 years again, that there's GA stars that have started to use their own name to build their brand. So the likes of Joe Canning, Aisling Thompson, that other Cork Camogie player that has stopped playing,
Anagiri.
Yeah. You know, so people that have realized that, you know, they can use their name and they can use their profile to build their brand. What do you think of it? What do you think of, say, GA stars that more, I suppose, brand ambassadors?
It's going back traditionally, I suppose. You know, obviously social media wasn't a platform for these people. So again, taking the business, you're looking at a business and they say, right, who can I put my values onto as a brand ambassador? And I think that's what brand ambassador actually is supposed to do. Maybe you're not supposed to give the brand ambassador's not supposed to give anything back PR wise, but they can now because they got their platforms which they can use. But I think traditionally it would have probably been used for, okay, so I'm a company, I'm going to put my values the same as the GA star.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, hardworking, in the community, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's changed now that it has to be like an influencer mightn't have the same values as that business.
Yeah.
But I think you still need to match up.
Yeah. I get that it has to match up with the person's values, but you have to get something back. If you're giving if you're giving someone a free car for a year, or if you're giving them, you know, free product for forever, then you have to get something back for it, because otherwise what's the point? There's so many people out there that have, you know, you might get the top GA person in the world in Ireland 5 years ago, and they wouldn't sell as much product of your product or give you as much advertising as someone who might have 5,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't make sense. And I think companies now are starting to realize that. But I also think that GA stars are starting to realize that too, that they need to start up in their game. Plus
there is money to be made there as well.
100%, yeah. It's just, you know, I think Paul Galvin was probably the first person to realize that in the GA world, that, you know, if I use my name and use this platform to build my brand, I can continue using my name when I finish playing. And now a lot of other people are starting to follow, and a lot of people are starting to do it. And when he first started doing it, people mocked him over it. I know he used to get a lot of abuse down in Kerry, and people would, you know, look at him as a precious person or as a precious player, and people mocked him over it. But what he's done for himself now, other people are trying to emulate it and try to copy it.
It's normal behavior, where before it would probably be seen as, what's he doing there? That's not normal behavior.
Yeah.
Where now it's completely normalized. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that's a career path for people now, you know?
Yeah. And it makes sense too, because GA stars, they put so much time into training and matches for maybe 20 years when they're playing with inter-county teams, and then all of a sudden it's stopped and they're getting no more limelight, they're getting no rewards. Yeah, exactly. So
in the first place, it's an amateur sport, so they're not making money in the first place. So you might as well build a profile and make money that way.
Yeah.
I think Dublin's a different beast completely, but the Dublin GA teams, hurling and football, I think more the football side of things and the ladies side of things, they really built an entity there.
Yeah.
Like with the squad and with the team, like the likes of the Brogans, Cluxton, a couple of the lady stars as well.
Yeah.
They're used everywhere in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're the stars of the show.
Yeah.
Like I know you can still use influencers, but they really built their brand.
Yeah.
I think their sponsors have a lot to do with it too. Do you know AIG?
Yeah.
I think
they realize it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's important. Like, I think.
But again, it's the blurred line of the brand ambassador.
Yeah.
Immersing into the influencer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at it, there's so many examples of companies around the world that have built massive businesses by using influencers or brand ambassadors. Two of them would be, you know, Gymshark or Movement Watches. I think everyone's probably seen ads from Movement Watches, MVMT, on the likes of Instagram and Facebook. They started out by just giving away free shit. So they just looked at people who would suit their brand. So Gymshark looked at people who, you know, were in that gym world, who might be attractive, who might, you know, gather a following or who had a following. They gave a lot of their gear. They just gave some like crazy amounts of free shit to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Those people would then post it on their Instagram and sell. Same with Movement Watches. They gave everyone a discount code, or they gave everyone a free watch, or they teamed up with some massive people around the world. And they've built their businesses from that. And Gymshark now is probably the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the fitness apparel around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they've used the likes of, you know, Steve Cook, who would probably be the most well-known fitness face out there. So it's, those companies are just perfect examples of how your marketing can just be, you know, using influencers and just giving them free shit. You mightn't have to pay them anything, just give them product, allow them to, you know, have a discount code, or allow them to post pictures of it or on their Instagram or on their social media, and watch what can happen from that. But again, I think one thing to point out is that it's important to choose the right influencer or brand ambassador to suit your company.
Okay, so for any brand ambassador that is listening, or a person that is of, you know, high sport playing, any advice for them that they can go from, you know, having their decent following to maximizing their following so they can get more work commercially?
Well, first of all, you have to, I think the number one thing I'd say to people is just to be yourself. I had a meeting with a girl yesterday who has a good following, and is looking to basically grow their following, and they were kind of, the one question they kept asking was, you know, I'm trying to find that one thing that makes me different to everyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at the person saying, you know, the thing that makes you different to everyone else is you being you.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is different to each other. Each one of us has a different personality, and you have to be true to yourself. If you just continue to be yourself, then you're going to gather a following anyway, if you can just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be the first thing I'd say, just to be honest to your followers, be yourself, allow them to get to know you, the person. So then obviously you have to put out good content.
Mm-hmm.
I think people think that, you know, you can gather massive amounts of following by just putting out, you know, really cool pictures. I think we're all guilty of, you know, seeing an attractive person, man or woman, and seeing them put out good pictures and think, you know, my God, they love themselves, or we get a certain opinion of them by looking at a picture. So that's why it's important to get on the likes of Instagram stories or Snapchat or wherever you're using to show off your personality through video.
Mm-hmm.
So either, you know, get on Instagram stories every day or create video content to show what kind of a person you are. And then if people don't like you for that, then they're not your demographic, they're not your followers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to show off your personality, you have to show off what you're like. People have to be able to hear you speak, and see, you know, even see you speak and see you move, because again, in a picture, everyone looks different. When you meet them in person, or if you see them in a video, they speak differently. Even when you see someone's teeth, it makes you think, geez, they look totally different. Do you ever get that? You know, when someone does
perception. Yeah.
So I think it's important to show off your true self, be honest, and that's one way that you can, you know, grow your following.
Okay.
That was the question you asked me, wasn't it?
It was, just to bring it back. How can, let's say, a GA person
okay.
wants to grow their following to yeah. be, not an influencer, but to be a brand ambassador, I suppose. Because I suppose if you're a gist or someone who's playing sport, mm-hmm. you don't want to be called an influencer.
No, because
it's, your craft is what you're influencing people on.
So
you prefer to be called probably a brand ambassador for a client.
But
yeah, I'd also say give back value to the clients or to the audience as well.
It's
so important that you have to, because it's always supply and demand, isn't it? So you have to be that person that's giving more value compared to the next, because how many GA stars are there in Ireland?
And even give an example of value. Give an example, because I know people that are listening will be saying, you know, what do you mean by giving back value?
Okay, so let's just take a GA star. Top of their field. You know, it could be as simple as if I'm a GA player, how to recover properly. So what stretches I'm doing, what fuel I'm taking on board afterwards, what's my recovery process, am I doing ice baths, the next day what am I doing, am I getting up, am I stretching again? It's just stuff like that I think that make you step out compared to other GA stars.
But I think it's also, you know, value comes in different forms as well. So it doesn't always have to be giving tips. It can be showing off your personality.
Humor side of things or, you know, one person... You might get a perception of that person thinking, God, he's such a hard player, a real hard man or a hard woman on the field. You know, they must be really hard. Like, for example, if we look at Cluxton, the goalkeeper, you look at him and go, geez, he must be a really stern person, because you never hear him speak. You never hear, he probably is a bad example because he seems like he's a bit stern.
But you never know.
But never know, because you just don't
see it.
Don't see it. Well, I don't follow him on Instagram or Facebook and that, but. Like you said, it comes different forms. So, you might be the best player in the world, or might be the best player in the world, but if you're giving back value through humor or instructional,
I think people just want to, like, this is another point I made to this person yesterday in that meeting, is that people are nosy and they just want to get to know you as a person, and they want to see what you're doing behind the scenes. They don't really care, you know, about the nice pictures you're posting up. They want to see you. They want to see you move. They want to see, you know, to hear your opinion on different things, to hear your opinion on your fashion or your makeup if you're a girl, or your opinion on different topics if you're a guy, and vice versa. But I think it's important to show people what you're like as a person, because that will immediately draw people who are similar to you into you.
That's a perfect example again. Actually, going back on what you said there about the likes of Movement Watches and Gymshark. The biggest company, I think, that have done it really well is
Good
Beats.
I forget. Oh, yes. Okay.
So Jimmy
Iovine
and Dr. Dre.
Yeah. I was going to say Jay-Z.
I saw Jay-Z in my mind as well. Basically, I watched a documentary on it. And how they got their name out there was they kept giving their headphones and headsets to these big artists.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, put that in the video. Yeah. Put that in your music video.
Yeah.
And next thing, it was like a culture. It was like, you watch the video and go, oh, if Beyonce is using it, I have to use it. So it's really, that was really clever, just the product placement by those people, and
they just knew it.
Sold for now, was it $3 billion or something to Apple?
But they even said themselves they didn't have the best headphones in the world. They knew that the sound was amazing. They obviously wanted to create headphones that had amazing sound, but they just knew that they had to put their product out there that in a way that everyone wanted it, and the way to do that was to put it on superstars. And we see that now in every industry. You know, you'd see the beauty industry or the watch industry or any kind of industry that they're putting their product on the top people in that industry or everyone. Then at times, because then that way, if we see people with it, it's just that's normal. That's the way we are. That's human. It's just the normal thing for us to do is when we see something on people, it's just like, oh, I need to get myself one of those.
Yeah, it's nothing's changed between 2018 to 1960s when advertising, I suppose, first came to real light, you know. I just made that up, 1960s. I'm going by Mad Men. Do you ever watch that show, Mad Men, the advertising world in New York? Do you ever watch that series?
No, I've seen it, but I've seen it advertised, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Okay, I'll get on it.
Get on it straight away.
Thanks, that's a tip. Tip.
We should be drinking like whiskeys and stuff every day inside the office.
Smoke my cigar.
We're doing it wrong. Yeah, we're doing it wrong. And there's other stuff, and that's you take no value from.
Okay.
Just avoid it completely.
Okay.
Okay. So moving on, that was a good topic, I think, Dan. So something that kind of gets more personal again.
Okay.
So, as we said last week, go back and listen to last week's topic. It's not this isn't your first business. So what motivates you to set up these businesses? What motivates you to keep going to? Like, not pack it in and just say, feckin', I'm going to have a 9-to-5 job.
Oh, is this? This again feels like you better have an answer ready, because this feels like it's an interview for me.
Well, okay. See, I do like, this is the way it works. I do up the topics.
Yeah,
I and throw them at you.
You surprise me. Then it's like throw Dan under.
It's
the
not
bus.
Like we haven't talked about this previously.
Throw Dan under the bus, so I sound great. Shane is always great at the podcast. Dan doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. It's kind of a hard question, but it's hard, but it's easy to answer, you know. So because there's a few things that would motivate me to, you know, to be hardworking or to work within our business, you know, to really want to grow to the next level. And two of those things, I suppose, firstly would be, you know, family and time. So, you know, obviously I want to try to build a life for my family that we can do. It's not to become a millionaire or anything like that. If it happens, great. But it's to allow myself and my family to do things that we want to do, you know. It's not about buying a massive house or driving amazing cars. It's a thing of, you know, if we want to go on a holiday to a place that we really want to go to and being able to afford it, that's great. Or being able to live a comfortable life, to do things that we want to be able to do.
Yeah.
But also have the time to do it, you know, so that we're not busy fools inside here, that we're not chasing our tail trying to bring in the next client or bring in the next big thing, you know. It's having enough time to spend with your family and do the things that you want to do, you know, being able to, you know, whether that's going golfing at the weekends or going playing AstroTurf during the week or going for runs, or going out for dinner. It's having the time that you're not always working.
But I suppose the other thing is, I can see it in you, so I'm not just making it up for the sake of the podcast, but you do love to work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday to Friday, like, you do love to work. I know you're eager to work, like, you know.
this year I took off a week. I was only talking to my wife about it 2 nights. I took off 5 days.
I'll have to check that now.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I went to Amsterdam. Sorry. Is that the other time?
No, you're skiing as well, bud.
Oh, you're skiing as well. Christ, I love my holidays. Wait,
do you know what? What time is that now? We'll cut that out.
We leave that in. But
poor Dan.
That's perfect. No, but what I meant by that was that, you know, that's a perfect example that I was able to go skiing and go to Amsterdam. I love doing things like that and being able to switch off. But I can't take time off and be in Cork or be around the business. That's before Shane threw me under the bus again. That time where I didn't even know that was this. Did I go skiing this year?
But to be fair, it does feel like that was like,
I feel like it was last couple years ago. But I took 5 days off, maybe 2 months ago, and 2 days of those 5 days, I think I was back in here, just, you know, either shooting a video or just editing. I find it very hard unless I'm out of the country. To just, you know, just to sit around and do
switch
nothing
off,
and you're the same. I know you like you have to work as well. You can't just sit around and do nothing. Saturday and Sunday is different. If we can get those days off, it's great.
Yeah,
but Monday to Friday, when it's, I know you're the same. I couldn't sit at home on a Tuesday and just say, you know, we'll take the day off.
No, even on, let's say, crazy. On a Saturday, I get itchy feet.
Yeah.
So if I, you know, whatever, do your Saturday routine and gym, whatever, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, like, 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm in the apartment going, God, I have to get out of this place.
Yeah.
Like, I have to move. I have to get out. Because otherwise, you're just sitting there going, right, what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel guilty, wouldn't you? Even if there was a time where, you know, you're sitting around in the office for half an hour, you just get itchy. It's like, I need to do something. What am I doing? And it's hard. And I think it's great that we are both like that, because we would drive each other nuts if we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a sign that, you know you're doing the right thing then, when you're constantly thinking, you constantly feel like you should be working.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What motivates you?
Yeah, I suppose it goes back to family life again. So growing up, I suppose I was very lucky. Look, two great parents, always have everything we wanted. I suppose I kind of want to put that values for the future as well, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously family is everything at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I look at, again, go back to my father, worked very hard, two jobs, basically worked as an entrepreneur, worked running his own business, and worked with Air as a technician, still does. But I would have seen that for him to put three of us through college, that was basically, like, I'd say probably 50% of his wages going to us for those, like, so there's 6 years between me and my eldest sister, and we all went to college.
Yeah.
And that's 4 or 5 years of paying for rent, paying for your tuition, all that kind of stuff.
And look how you ended up.
Stuck with you. So it's to, first of all, to pay them back in some way if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to look to my future as well and say, right, if I'm like this, I'm going down the rabbit hole here, 20 years time, you know. But you have to, because otherwise you're kind of going, what's the whole point of this?
Yeah, you have to have goals. Of course you do, yeah.
So you have to have goals, and it's just to be comfortable that you can say, right, I want to be able to provide for my family, and yeah, that's probably my number one motivator is to do that.
Cool.
I know that kind of makes me sound like an angel, like, but
no, but I think to be honest, I think everyone that's in business can relate to something like that, and I said the same thing. It's, you don't, well, I think if you're in business to just make money and not give a shit about anything else, then it's not going to work, and I think it says a lot about you as a person.
Well, the other thing is when you are working for yourself, is that your paycheck at the end of the month, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work for it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just expect for it to come in and everything to be rosy. So exactly. I think it's almost like a fear factor, I suppose, and anything, not really a motivator, but a fear factor is, okay, so how am I going to get to pay the wages, rent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I think one thing that definitely motivates me as well is that, and I had it down as kind of my third thing, was that I want to leave a positive impact on the world, basically. And I know that sounds funny when I say the world, but you know, I want to be remembered when I'm gone. I want to be remembered as someone who did good things, rather than, you know, I think for my grandkids, I prefer them to remember me as a person who did good things, rather than, oh, he was a person that built this business. I to be honest, I don't give a shit about stuff like that. And it's great. I know you'd agree with me in that it's great that if you can build a business that's, you know, lasts for decades, that's great.
Behind, yeah.
But I'd much prefer to be known as a person who was a nice person who did good things, rather than, oh, he made a fortune, or he was a multimillionaire, or he had a really big business. Because yeah, that's great. But I think it's much better to be known as a person who was nice and who did good things and who respected people.
Be nice to get a happy medium, don't want it?
Yeah. Give me the money. Give me the money.
Jerry Maguire.
But it's true. It's actually, do you know, it's something I said on my Instagram stories yesterday, that I actually worry about us as a generation when people look back at us in 100 years from now. You know, how will they actually look at us as a generation when, you know, something I'm passionate about, you know, that is, you know, homeless people, or, you know, we're going through one of the biggest homelessness crises ever here in Ireland, probably the biggest ever. And I wonder what people 100 years from now will think of us. Will they look back and say, my God, they were thick as shit, or they just didn't care, or they were so self-absorbed, or they just didn't care about anything but themselves. And that's something I genuinely worry about, and it interests me.
Yeah, I think I said to you, going back maybe 5 or 6 months at this stage, you know, yes, we do evolve as humans, technology evolves,
yeah,
we like physically evolve,
yeah,
but I don't think human nature, we humans just repeat evolve. Ourselves.
Yeah, there's always going to be tragedies in the world, and there's always going to be people who are hungry, and there's always going to be people who are homeless. And that to me doesn't make sense. How can we put, well, I don't even know if we put someone on the moon, but how can we put someone on the moon, but yet there's still people living on our streets here in Ireland, and it's the worst it's ever been. I actually genuinely worry, and it's something I think about a lot, that, you know, I think we feel as a generation that, you know, geez, we're not we as me and you, but the world thinks, you know, we're great. We've invented television. We've invented the internet. We're these amazing people. We have phones that, you know, you can FaceTime each other if someone's in Australia and if you're in Ireland. But that's all well and great, well and good. People will forget that as well in 100 years' time. They're not going to look back and say, you know what, we'll forget about all the tragedies that were going on and all the shit that they did because, you know, they invented the internet.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. That's the one thing I'd look back on, because look back at 100 years ago now. Do we talk about the things they invented, or do they talk about the wars that went on, or, you know, the tragedies that were happening? We don't talk about what they invented. I think they'll look back at us and do the same thing. They're not going to give a shit about who invented the internet or the internet was invented at that time, because it'll just be there.
It'll be after evolving.
Yeah, so it'll much just be there. It's just the normal. So they look back and say, they look back at us and look at what we've left behind, and I don't think enough of us think of that, and it's scary.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's thought provoking.
Yeah.
Nearly too much for this hour of the morning.
Sorry.
But no, you're dead right. It's a scary, scary thought to have, but it's something that we have to talk about, I suppose.
Yeah.
That kind of leads me into what you're doing this weekend.
Okay.
Do you want to touch on that, or do you want to leave it, or?
No, go. Do you want to introduce it? Do you want to talk about it?
So I suppose last Friday, was it last Friday?
Last Friday, yeah.
So you would have been approached by Focus Ireland, which would be the...
it's a homelessness or homeless services organization here in Ireland, so a charity as well.
So you've been approached by them to do a sit out mm-hmm. with them, either outside our office or outside our office here in Cork,
mm-hmm.
and you decided not to, yep. and you decided to do it on your own,
mm-hmm.
Without a support team.
Yeah,
and the reason for that was because you're saying is that a homeless person doesn't get that support,
mm-hmm.
doesn't get that luxury of pop in somewhere if he needs to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it was simply that they'd asked, you know, sleep outside their office or sleep inside my office, and I said no. The only way I would do it is if I could do it by myself with no support team, and to give a real insight of what it's like to live as a homeless person for one night. And obviously I documented it on my Instagram, and I stayed out for the entire night, and I showed people what it was like, and it was a roller coaster, and I think you've seen that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That you go through so many emotions that, you know, you don't expect to go through. Yes, you can be cold and you can get wet, but you don't expect the mental challenges of it, where you are by yourself and you're totally like, you know, within your own thoughts, you're thinking different things, and you know, what if this was actually me, or what if it was someone in my family, or
mm-hmm.
you know, how would I cope with it? And just for one night, it was hard. It was actually really tough. But the easy thing for me was that I got to go home the next morning, and that was the thing that, you know, I had in my head, was that, you know, how easy this is for me. That yes, it's tough, but I know I can go home to a house in the morning.
There's an endpoint.
Yeah.
To what you're doing. Yeah.
So many other people don't have that, and I think we look at homelessness as people who are just on the streets, but there's so many people here in Ireland that are living in, you know, hotels that get to stay a night, and they have to pack up their stuff and have to get back out the next morning, don't mm-hmm. get to wash their clothes, and they're back out into their car looking for another hotel to sleep in. And for us for that to be happening in our country is fucking crazy, to be honest.
Mm.
And when I say we, I'm not taking myself away from this, we as a nation, we don't think about it enough.
Mm.
And we've all been guilty of it. We all walk past people, and you know, I think we've all been guilty of thinking like, oh, you know, homeless people are all drug addicts or alcoholics, and that's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was, and if they ended up on the street because of that, you know, who are we to judge? You know, every one of us goes through different challenges in life. But for us to not support them and not to, you know, try to raise awareness of that issue is wrong. So that is why I did it.
Okay, and what do you think is, it's hard to say what's mm-hmm. the solution.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think can help?
I think we've seen in different countries, I think Denmark is one of them there, where, you know, they look at the buildings that are already there. I think if we look at the city, Cork City here itself, there are so many buildings around the entire city where the bottom floor is being used as a shop, as a retail unit, as an office,
mm-hmm.
and then there's two or three floors above that have nothing in it, and they're just left to rot, and nothing is being done to change that. So there's an entire amount of empty space around the country where, you know, second, third, fourth floors can be used. There's also a crazy amount of derelict buildings and derelict estates that are not being, you know, used, that, you know, government can come in and, you know, maybe fix them up a small bit, or put people into them, or, you know, force people to rent out their spaces, because it's insane. And I can get why, you know, the rent has gone up so much around the country, because, you know, I'm the type of person that if you have a product or if you have a service that people are willing to pay for, if you charge more than everyone else and people are willing to pay for it, then it's tough shit. You know, I look at a landlord, and if he's getting €1,000 right now for his house, and he can get 3,000 for it next month by getting a different family in, then it's kind of like, you know, it's a harsh thing to say, but it's like, you know, tough shit. He owns that, and he can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a wrong thing to do, and I wouldn't do it myself, but you can understand why people are doing it. But does a home shortage here in Ireland, that there's not enough houses being built?
Mm-hmm.
But the government, I think, don't really give a shit about it.
Mm.
They say they do, but what is actually being done? What I can understand is how, you know, things aren't actually being stopped, and it's kind of like, right, this is the number one issue. Brexit doesn't matter. In my head, I'm saying, you know, Brexit, yes, we can deal with that in time, but homelessness is our own people on the streets, and it's the worst it's ever been. Forget everything else. Forget all the other, you know, everything else is going on in the Dáil. We need to sort this right now. And then when this is sorted, we can focus on everything else.
Okay, cool. I wasn't even... I was just kind of listening to you. I was like, that is actually crazy when you put it into context like that. So what's the next step? And then we'll move on.
So this weekend, I think there was a lot of people watching it from different parts of the country, watching my stay last Friday. So kind of on Friday night and on Saturday morning, one friend of mine, I think it'll be two friends after this weekend. One friend, Katrina Kelly, who we've known and worked with for a while, got in touch and asked if I'd come to Dublin this coming week and do the same in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And Torin is the owner of Two Boys Brew Cafe in Dublin, which is a popular cafe, is also sleeping out. So there's going to be three of us sleeping out this coming Sunday. But I think they've also got a lot of other people who are willing to do it and help raise awareness by, you know, mentioning it on Instagram stories, etc. But I think there's also people looking to do it here now in Cork as well. So I think we're going to get a lot of us out on Sunday night. Again, it's not to raise money, because for me, money isn't the answer. It's more about raising awareness and getting, you know, the government to do something about it, for us to shout and for them to listen.
Well, fair play to you, because I suppose just going back to the first point is brand ambassador versus influencer and influencing people.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are caught up now in the days of trying to become an influencer to make it a career that they can make money off it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say fair play to yourselves and Katrina and the other guys that are getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're actually using your following to influence people in a proper way, in mm-hmm. a positive way, as opposed to just trying to buy a product. Mm-hmm. So fair play at that.
Thank you.
Okay. All the niceties are over with.
Back to it.
Back to stab you in the back again. Where's that bus? I can throw you under again now. Okay, so the next thing I just want to talk about is our culture as people, as you and I.
Mm-hmm.
What or who has shaped you as a person, first off, and that leading into your business life?
Okay, so as a person first,
mm-hmm.
I think our family, my family and our family again as people, and shapes all of us. I think what you see at home and how you're treated at home is how you're shaped in life. And like you, I've been fortunate enough that I've come from a normal family, but an amazing family as well. But you know, I think we as people, I think it's the same around the world. What you see at home and how you're treated at home is how you're going to live your life. You know, I spent a lot of time with my parents, and I still do, and I see how they treat each other, and I see how they treat other people, and I see how people treat them. And I think you just naturally get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something they're... It may be something that they're trying to teach you, but it's something I think just comes naturally, and it's not something you try to learn. It just comes naturally. Again, I think what you see at home with your family and your extended family is how you are as a person. And I can see that now with myself. You know, I can see how I treat, you know, my wife and my kids, and I see how I treat my friends, and I see then as well the traits I've got from them, you know, personality traits. So like my humor and, you know, how I'm a bit messy and, you know, crazy at times. I can see that on both sides of my family.
When you say messy now, is it like a messy bedroom?
No,
or
no, I don't mean that. Messy as in like, you know, a bit of banter that I'm okay. a bit silly and messy that way. Because that's on both sides of my family. So it's on my mum's side and on my dad's side. So I think you can see different traits you've gathered from your family and your extended family that shapes you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I don't think, you know, if you've come from, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you've come from a tough background where you weren't treated right and if you weren't given the right direction, you can't change as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have both been lucky that, you know, we've been supported and guided in the right direction.
Yeah, like I don't want to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you just said. So there's no point me touching anything. It's the exact same thing. I think we come from quite similar backgrounds, mm-hmm. in that regard, that we mm-hmm. come from both nice families and we're well supported by parents and grandparents and mm-hmm. extended family and all that. I suppose one of the biggest influences of my life would have been sport.
Yeah.
I always find it a way to, because I always find the school system, mm-hmm. I know we're going down
don't
this way.
Talk about that.
The school system, I always find it's so it's structured 9 to 3 and then you're mm-hmm. going to your secondary school, it's 9 to 4 and your whole day is set up for you. Mm-hmm. It almost suppresses your creativity almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find sport, football for me, and golf, mostly football, was a way to express myself after school or before school.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found that was a great way to actually played to shape me. So my father would have always been heavily involved as well in the J team. So I suppose that's how things would have shaped me. But coaches and trainers, they always would have, you know, put us in the right direction as well. You know, and I think sport is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I think everyone. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. That sport for us, yes, because I'm similar to you. But I think everyone has something, and everyone should have something. So every kid growing up should have that thing, whether it be, you know, sport, or it be, you know, music or art or something. But I think the people you come across and the people you meet within that, you know, that art or that skill or that industry, they'll all shape you some way or another. Mm. You know, you might meet some bad people, but they'll treat you how not to treat other people.
Yeah,
I think they'll all shape you in certain ways, and I think that's important. But I think it's kind of goes to show that, you know, it's important who you surround yourself with.
Mm.
So if you surround yourself with just shit people and people who treat other people unfairly, or if you surround yourself with people who are just not, you know, ambitious, or people who just don't want to do anything, then that's going to tell how you turn out.
Mm-hmm.
If you surround yourself with people who are good people and treat people well, who are ambitious, who, you know, who are just genuinely nice people,
mm-hmm.
Then you know, you're gonna match that. And when I say ambitious, I don't mean business. You know, it's not all about business, but I just mean, you know, who want to do something, who want to create change in whatever they're ambitious about.
It could be small things. About.
Exactly, yeah.
It could be like someone who's ambitious to take on an under-12 team.
Yeah.
That want to
yeah.
help out in the community.
Yeah.
It's setting yourself around with those people.
Mm-hmm.
I think growing up, I was also very lucky to have good teachers, secondary or national school teachers,
mm-hmm.
secondary school teachers that always wanted to get the best out of people, because I think they almost saw themselves that, God, this is so structured.
Yeah.
That express yourself with sport, that was my way. Letting us to do the half an hour of PE every day, or
mm-hmm.
having good teachers in your secondary school that are passionate about sport as well.
Yeah.
But also that moving into third level, which was the lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a very good lecturer. Because obviously being a student is quite tough. You know, you're out of home for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to wash yourself, basically. Wash your clothes or cook dinner or anything like that. We had a very, very good lecturer. He's only, at the time, probably maybe 5 or 6 years older than us at that time. But what he did before every class was, and I suppose I can only appreciate it now, because looking back, I was kind of going, oh, this fella for real. But looking back now, going, what he did for us. So what before every class, he'd show us how to make something very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with, because I did recreation leisure in college for the first 3 years. So he showed us like how to either make a stir fry, or, you know, bake homemade bread,
mm-hmm.
that we can use for a full week.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose you can only appreciate that stuff now.
Yeah.
And that's better than
yeah.
anything I've probably learned in college,
yeah.
you know, in retrospect, yeah. like, yeah. you know. And obviously, I mean, I take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, I think those type of people, if you surround yourself with those type of people,
mm-hmm.
They will shape you to be the yep. person you are now. Obviously.
But isn't it mad that had to be shown to you in college, you know, cooking different things, how to look after yourself? Because, you know, for me, I didn't hate school, but I really didn't enjoy it. And school should be, you know, school is there to, you know, educate you for life,
mm-hmm.
And to show you life skills. But when you think of it, there's not very many life skills you get out of the schooling system. You know, you get to learn how
to
read and write. Yeah, but it should be a case of, you know, you should come out of there and know how to look after yourself, both, you know, mentally and physically. How to, you know, how to create a home. So whether it be, you know, accounts, or it be, you know, how to treat your
savings.
Partner, etc.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't learn any of that. I think the schooling system is, I think it's been said so many times, it's there to train people to work within an industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, to just become workers, and that's wrong. School should be there to, you know, train you for life, how to look after yourself both mentally and physically, and that's the number one thing. Because
yeah.
anything else, you know it yourself. You go in and you'll do a course on something, and much of the learning will be done when you actually get a job.
The practical side of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you spend so much time learning how to do something, getting a degree, and none of it's really put to use. You get most of the learning then within a job.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, I suppose, go back to your point there, is of the secondary school, even secondary, because I suppose, look, national schools.
Yeah.
It's there, whatever. Yeah. Secondary school, definitely you should be learning about
yeah.
How to do the social side of things.
Yeah.
planning you for further education or for moving out of home, whatever, yeah, that kind of stuff, because it's just not, it's just, well, I don't, maybe it's taught now. I don't know.
I think the schooling system has definitely changed a small bit where they look to talk about, you know, mental health and, but I don't think enough. I think it's maybe up to the teachers again, or there might be a certain module in fourth year or transition year.
Yeah.
It should be something as soon as you went to first year, you should be taught how to cook, how to look after yourself, how to feckin' turn on a washing machine, how to do your savings, how to, you know, how to live life. Because, like you say, I was lucky enough that when I was going to college, I could just live at home. You had to move out of home, and you didn't know how to wash your underpants.
That's
I
true,
could
though.
Smell it from you. Yeah. But, you know, isn't it true? So, like, at 18, 19 years of age.
I was 17 when we went to college. Yeah.
So that's crazy. You know life skills.
No.
And it's hard. And I actually feel sorry for it. I've said this to you so many times. I see students and I feel sorry for them. They have a great life at times. They're always out.
Mm.
But I feel sorry for them because, you know, a lot of them have moved maybe down from Dublin to Cork or from different parts.
And, worse, yeah.
Yeah, and they're living out of home and they've no one really there to support them. And that has to be hard. You should be taught stuff like that in school.
I thought it was important to bring up my experience with that lecturer, because nothing to do with what he was teaching, but he took 5 minutes out of the class, and that's probably the most value I took from that class. You know, that was the most valuable thing that I got. Okay, so I think we'll probably finish it there.
Okay, I think we went off on a bit of a tangent.
Just a small bit.
I think we still touched on all the topics, and I think it was important to mention the things we did mention.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, I suppose we have other podcasts that are live on all good podcast platforms. So, yeah.
If there's anything, I think it's important to say, if there's anything that you guys would like us to discuss, you know, marketing, advertising, or just, you know, life in general, then drop us a message on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, email, anything at all. We just want you to get in touch.
What's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Is this my plug again?
Again.
Instagram, DanSweeney14.
Cool.
Shane, go.
Shane Murphy, DG.
Ooh. Or DGGuys_ on Instagram.
Okay, thanks guys for listening, and we will see you next week.